On page 285, 286, in the bottom numbers. And we're in the middle of what's called Chinuch Katni, Introduction to Shar Yechid Ve'Amunah. And according to one of the commentators that I saw today, the way that he interprets this first line of the, which is probably the pshat in it, which I kind of glanced over, is Lakutei Amorim Chelek Sheni Hanikra Shem Chinuch Katan, that the second part of Lakutei Amorim is called Chinuch Katan, which means the next 12 chapters, including this introduction, and it also happens to be called Shar Yichud Vamuna, just like the first part of Tanya is called Lakutei Amorim, which is called Sefer Shel Beinanim, and they also call it Tanya. And it's interesting that in both instances we call it by the colloquialism rather than by... Nobody calls it Lakutei Amorim. It's called Tanya, and what we're learning now is Shar Yechid Ve'Amunah, the third name for both. The significance of why it's specifically the third name, I could make up some kind of Purim Torah as to why. You know, having to do with Teferis, and Teferis is MS, you know, that kind of stuff. I could go there, but it's not Purim. So in the introduction...
I'm going to come to your house on Purim.
The introduction... Oh, you want to hear my Purim drushes?
There's a lot of
you, you should, you should hear me. You should hear me get going when I get oiled.
I heard he wrote this Shar Yechid first.
There was a good intention. We talked about this last week that this would be first, as it says. We ended off with the words "Kemoshe Yisbar B'Mkayme Ba'Arichos," as will be explained in its place at great length. And that, as it will be explained, was in chapter 46.
Yes.
So the fact that he initially did plan on doing it that way, because the idea we explained last time is the idea of Amuna is a portal and a gateway. He calls it Shar, which is a gateway to doing all the rest of the mitzvahs. But in the end, he decided that he's going to address the Beinoni first, because it says Tzadik be'Amunasa Yichyeh. Tzaddik lives by faith.
Uh-huh.
All others, we pay cash. So the Beinoni needed addressing first,
uh-huh.
And so he put Sefer Shel Beinoni first. Okay, and as it even says, he talks it over here. The introduction, which a lot of people skip the introduction because it's not it doesn't really seem to have the context of the rest of Shar Yechid Ve'Amunah, which is talking about creation theory, but given in the context that the whole thing is really Chinuch Katan, which is called Shar Yechid Ve'Amunah, so it really is imperative to learn the introduction. Because what is he saying over here? What's the purpose of the introduction? He says that first of all, he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk is a pasuk from Mishlei, that when you chinuch l'nar al pi darkei ki yagam ki yaskin gasu kein, that if you educate the child according to his ways, when he gets old, he does it that way also. So then he says, what kind of business? Mishlei.
Yes, it is.
Proverbs.
Yes.
So he asks the question, what does it help to be chinuch l'nar al pi darkei? You should do it according to Derech HaEmes. Let the kid live up to it. But here it is. You have to mold the Torah to him. We learned for Pharaohs that you should never do that. Never bring the Torah down. Yeah. So what good is it then? Because when he gets old, he'll be doing it the same way. And he said, well, explain that there is what we're really trying to accomplish in the idea of educating anybody is to instill a love and fear of Hashem. I would say probably half of the first part of Tanya is focusing on this idea of love and fear of Hashem. And he always talked about in the first part of Tanya, about meditating to arouse a love and fear, but never going into detail. The details of upon what to meditate are in Shar Yechid Ve'Amunah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was thinking about doing it first, because like this will have what to meditate on when we're talking about meditation. But then he decided, no, we'll deal with the problems that Beinoni's addressed before we get to the meditation. And he said that we're commanded, for example, it says in Parshas Ekev, that you have to love Hashem. Okay, v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol maidecha. He doesn't actually quote that vote. that verse. But he quotes another verse of Parshas Ekev. And he says, how do you command somebody to love anything? Especially, how are you going to command somebody to love Hashem? To get used to something physical to the point where you actually enjoy it, so that a person could do. You could acquire a taste for something. So that at first you didn't like it, and now you do like it. But he's talking something so out of this world, actually quite literally out of this world. He's talking about loving Hashem. So how am I supposed to just say, okay, I'm commanding you to love Hashem? What tools do we have? So the Alter Rebbe has always maintained that we have the tools to love Hashem. And he says that you'd have to do it by meditating. Okay? Meditating on the greatness of Hashem to arouse a love and fear of Hashem. So what does that mean? In order to arouse a love and fear of Hashem, you have to know what things to think about to arouse this love and fear of Hashem. And he talks about it generally, there's two ways. So now we're the line is in the Hebrew. It's in the right column, about a third of the way down. The first one in the line is Mimkaimai Barichos. There's a dot there that says Hine Inyan Avazu. And in the English, it's the second paragraph or first paragraph. It is this love.
Chinuch
285 on the bottom numbers, so on the top numbers. One. Well, turn the page over. Ayin Vav. Ayin Vav. Yeah. So Vihini Inyan Ha'ava. You got it, Yaakov?
No.
The first word of the line is Mimkaimai. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. So Vihini Inyan Ha'ava Zu. This love of Hashem. You got it, Danny? Okay. Rasa Moshe Rabbeinu Liita Belev Kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to implant this love in the heart of every single Jew. This was Bechal, the function of Moshe. Everybody has a specific function in this world. Moshe was called the Raya Mehemna. And it was Moshe's job to, which is a translation, the way he translated Raya Mehemna, it's translated throughout Hasidus, is the one who shepherds faith. As opposed to the faithful shepherd, who's a shepherd who can be trusted.
It's just Chabad, that's everybody.
Okay, his job was to implant, I don't know from everybody, I know from Chabad. His job was to implant emuna in the soul of every single person. But, okay, fine. So you have emuna. And emuna is a very good thing to have. Okay, what was I just mentioning to somebody today? I was learning Daniel with someone. And we're right at the beginning. So where Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah get thrown into the fire. Okay? So it says, how is it that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are known at that point by their Babylonian names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how is it that they were able to walk around the fire, the furnace, that it says it was so hot that the guys that threw them into the furnace got incinerated.
Burned up, yes.
How is it that they were able to do it? Is when it's a very interesting thing. If you make a diuk in the words, you say, and Nebuchadnezzar says, "Listen, I like you guys. You're nice guys. You're little kids. You're 17 years old. I'm giving you one more chance. When you hear the music go, everybody has to bow down. You guys bow down too." And they say to him, "We don't need to wait for an answer on this one. This one's pretty clear. If Hashem wants for us to get thrown into a furnace, which that was the punishment, if Hashem wants us to get thrown into a furnace and for us to walk out, we will walk out. And if Hashem doesn't want us to walk out, then we will be incinerated, we'll die as martyrs," is basically what they said.
Yeah.
Where would it be that a person would come up with a statement that if Hashem wants us to walk out of the furnace, that they would walk out? It would never occur to me to say such a thing. For me to say, "Listen, throw me in the fire, I'm not going to do it, and I'll die a martyr's death." Okay? That's like that would be like the heroic thing to say. But they actually had the emuna in Hashem, the betachin in Hashem, that they were thinking, "Hezekiah, You think you're a big shot. If you're going to throw us into a furnace, we honestly and truly believe that Hashem is going to let us walk out of it. That absolute belief is what allowed Hashem to conduct that miracle.
And all other means.
In other words, that you have to, the person has to make themselves the keli for the miracle to say, yes, Hashem could do this. I absolutely 100% believe it. To me, that I would never ever think such a thing, that if I get thrown into a furnace that's been heated up 7 times hotter than hot, that I'm going to walk out of there. I'm hoping at best I would die, not me, but would die a martyr's death, and you know, with the whole thing over there with being a Kaddish, and that's what probably what would happen. Okay, but for Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, they had the bitachain that Hashem was going to say, okay, listen, we'll let out, you know, walk out. To the extent that they were embarrassed to walk out, because it says they got thrown in with their shirts and with their pants and with their belts and with their robes. And it says, and they came out, their hair wasn't touched and their shirts wasn't touched and they didn't smell like smoke. So you make a diuk over there. It says their shirts. What about the pants? Oops. They came out without the pants on. They were embarrassed. They didn't want to walk out because their pants had been burnt up. Okay, why did their pants have to be burned up? Is because when Avraham got thrown into a fire, nothing happened to him at all. These, okay, they got thrown into a fire, but they weren't Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They were only Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, so they lost their pants, you might say, quite literally. So they were embarrassed to come out, and besides, where they were, it was like they were walking around. He said he saw 4 guys. The fourth one was Eliyahu HaNavi. It was like the Gan Eden in there. Mm-hmm. They were having a blast. Furnace, yes. So,
that's cool.
Maisha was the one who was in charge of instilling us with such a level of faith in Hashem. Hmm. And how is it that we are to express our amuna in Hashem? Is with Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. That's the job that Maisha wanted to do. The whole book of Devarim is geared to don't worship idols and love and fear Hashem. The basic theme of the book of Devarim is you take care of Hashem and Hashem will take care of you. So he said in the Parshas Akev, he wanted to implant in every single Jew, Va'ati Yisrael. Now listen, Jews. Well, all that Hashem asks of you is that you fear Him, right? He lists a whole bunch of psukim before he gets to the whole thing over here. Rak Abisecha Chashik, Hashem only desired in your elders. And he circumcised their hearts, nefesh, and they went down in 70 people, and they came out a mighty nation. The Ahavta includes, and you should love Hashem. Okay, so there are simple ways of looking at this love. And he talked about this already in the first part of Tanya. That if somebody's going to do you a favor, so you're going to like the guy. And if someone saves your life, you're going to feel total enamored to Him. And Hashem, who gives you your life, if you thought about it for half a second, you would be totally and completely enraptured with Hashem. V'lachin sayim devarev al ahava zu asher anechi mitzaveh eschem la'asoysei. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu concludes, after all this, that I'm commanding you this day to love Hashem, to do it. There's an action verb over here. This is not just some little pitter-patter in the heart thing going on. Exactly. This is an expressed physical love. Yeah. It says in Hayyim Yayim that just as it is that your tefillin, when you put on your tefillin, you have to feel your tefillin on. You have to feel the tightness on the shal yad and the heaviness of the shal rosh. And there's a specific place where you put your shel yad and you put your shel rosh, mm-hmm. A very exact place. And then when that happens, what happens? They function properly. If a person has the right size tefillin and puts them in the right way, then the tefillin are doing what they're supposed to do. So it says in Hayyim Yayim, so it's the same thing also with, that's the case with that mitzvah, it's the same thing also with the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. It has an exact place, and it has to be done in an exact manner. It has to be to the point that you actually feel it. Not that we're just talking about it. Love of Hashem means to feel a love of Hashem. Fear of Hashem means to feel a fear of Hashem, which that in turn will therefore have an effect on our actions. Okay? That a person who loves, if you love somebody, you're going to feel it, you're going to act in a certain way towards them. If you really love somebody, you're not going to want to be separated from them. And a person who has a respect or an awe, a reverence for a person, is never going to contradict that person, do anything to separate themselves from that person. And so that's the way in which our love and fear has to be manifest itself. So the Alter Rebbe in the introduction to Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, that I tell people when you learn Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, you need a seatbelt so you don't fly away. But the whole purpose of Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, which discusses, I'm not going to say some of it, the hardest concepts in the Torah, what's the whole purpose of learning it? It's an extension of Sefer Shul Beinoni. What's the purpose of Sefer Shul Beinoni? Be a mensch. The whole purpose of all this highfalutin stuff is to learn to be a mensch. True. And this has to be then incorporated into a person's lexicon. This is how I'm going to be a mensch. Any questions? If you don't have questions, it means two things. Either you understand it totally, or you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about.
It's part two.
I'll have a clue until you get to this.
It's part two.
That how do you get to do the love? That this is a love which is made in the heart through meditating, bina, and das. Das, we talked about before, means to feel connected to it. And the example that I gave, not everybody was here, but the example that I give of das, what does it mean to feel connected? This is an example that I came up, and I never ran it past any bigger rabbis than myself, so maybe it's not Eisgehalten so much. Danny, you'll correct me if you don't like this one. It says, what does it mean, a feeling of connection? You walk out of the house without your cell phone. It's like, something's missing. Oh, yep, you got to run, you got to go back, because you're missing the cell phone. Okay? Your wife, you could leave at home. Your cell phone, that you have to have. That's connection, that's das. You should feel, this is what I'm saying now, somewhat glibly and tongue-in-cheek, you should feel as connected to Hashem as you feel to your cell phone. You like that one?
Yeah.
At least you can understand it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. B'dvarim ha-ma'irin es-ha'ava, by meditating and feeling connected to those things which are going to arouse the love, which is what's coming up in the next 12 chapters. V'alzet siva kvart ha-ma'irin arouse. V'alzet siva kvart techila v'hayu ha-dvarim ha-eila asher anechi metzavcha ha-yayim ala v'vecha. So this is already commanded already before. These words which I'm commanding to you, you should put them to your heart. It's part of the Shema. Kidei shal yidei zeh tavo la'ava es Hashem. In order that you actually come to love Hashem. Kidei isa b'sifri al pasuk zeh. As is explained in the Medrash. So, hinei al'ava zu shenia shayach lashen mitzvah. Or mitzvah. About this second love, which comes through meditating. The first one, he said, was a present from above. That's given to tzaddikim who have, sort of like in the right place at the right time. With ava b'taynugim. So that's not what for us to talk about. The second love that he's talking about, which we can arouse. Everybody has the tools. We all have it, the intellect. If your intellect is above, like, say, 65, your IQ, you have an ability to understand something about Hashem. And whatever it is, on whatever level a person has that ability to understand about Hashem, that is going to arouse their love on that level of Hashem. And no one has an excuse to say, I don't have what it takes to understand anything about Hashem. Because we all have something. V'tzivoy, v'lahayinu, lasum libay v'daitay v'dvarim hama'irin esa'afa. So when we command you to love Hashem, what are we commanding you to do? It's like you said before, that this, the question doesn't go away. It says, how could you command somebody to love Hashem? You can't command somebody to love Hashem. So that question doesn't, that's not what it's, what we did, and we're not answering that question. What we're saying is your understanding of the commandment is wrong. You have, for example, there's a commandment to eat kosher fish. Okay, it says in, where's the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh? It talks over there. It says anything that has snapi v'kaskasis, this you should eat. Okay, now when it says this you should, that's one of, that indicates that that's one of 248 commandments. So does that mean to tell me then that it's a mitzvah to eat fish? Certainly sounds like it. Now, knowing what we know, is it a mitzvah to eat fish? No, it's not a mitzvah to eat fish. If you're going to eat fish, it's a mitzvah to look to see that the fish has fins and scales. So here you have a lashon in the pasuk where it sounds like it says directly do this, and it's not that at all. So the same thing over here. It says you should love Hashem. So we're not commanding you to love Hashem because you can't command anybody to love anything or anybody. What can you command a person to do? You can command them to think about things which should arouse a love of Hashem. That I can command you to do. And since it's going to be that we're guaranteed that if you think about these things long enough and hard enough, you're going to love Hashem. So that's how you're going to fulfill that mitzvah of you should love Hashem. Okay? Just like by looking to see if the fish has scales on its skin, you fulfill the mitzvah of this you should eat. So you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of loving Hashem by thinking about things that are going to make you love Hashem. That's how you fulfill the mitzvah not. And what happens if a person is sitting and thinking and he doesn't feel a love for Hashem? Well, two things. Think about it some more. And second of all, you didn't miss out. You're still thinking about the things you're supposed to be thinking about, which I'm not really sure. If a person goes and checks to see if the fish has fins and scales and doesn't eat it, did he do the mitzvah? Because the mitzvah is just to check. I don't know. I didn't look.
I'm thinking of Kiva Avadim. It's not to love, but it's, there's a commandment.
No, Kivud Avim is, this is how you honor your parents. You get them things that they need, and you take care of them when they get older, and you listen to them what they say, and you don't sit in their chair, that kind of stuff. You know, that those are action verbs. Oh. Honor and respect are action verbs. They're not ethereal concepts like love. When it says honor the Shabbos, it means put white tablecloths on, have two challahs, have special food. That's what the word honor means specifically. V'loshen mitzvah v'tziva d'hainah, v'loshen mitzvah v'tziva d'hainah, v'loshen mitzvah v'tziva d'hainah, avo ava rishayna. The first level of love that we talked about, we're the last line on the right side. Shehu shalahevis ha'ayla me'aleha. Which this is this fiery love which is rising up by itself. This is this love that tzaddikim have. Lo shayich lashon tziva v'mitzvah klal. That can't be commanded. Because how can I command you to receive a gift? I command you to receive a gift. There's absolutely no sense whatsoever. Because that's what that first level of love, of this burning, desirous, rapturous love affair with Hashem. Like a person's going to plot. That, he says, is a gift from above. I can't command you to get a gift from Hashem. So that's not, he says, that's not where the mitzvah is. V'lo edel, and furthermore, shehu matan scharim shel tzaddikim l'taymein or l'barilim azeh. Who gets that? Are the righteous people who worked hard enough that Hashem says, you know what? We're gonna show them a piece of the action. We're going to give them a little taste what olam haba is like in this world. So, to do, if you want a piece of that one, so okay, good. So, go behave like a tzaddik, and work really hard, and there's a good chance Hashem will say, okay, I'm going to give this guy a big, I'll give him a piece of the action.
Yeah.
Okay? And when he does, come back and tell me, and then I can call you Rebbe. Sha'aleh ha'ne'mar avadis matana eten es kehon asachem. As it says, a service of a gift, I will give your kohanim. Now the pshat in pasuk is that the kohanim get all kinds of special presents, the first of this and the first of that and the first of all the other things. So, but here he's talking about, it says, is the kohanim are the righteous people, the tzaddikim, and Hashem says, I'll give them a matana. He quoted this already in chapter 14. Kamashi is barim and kaimat will be explained in its place, which that was chapter 14. Achine yedua liyodeim. Time may decra. But those who are familiar with the esoteric wisdom will understand the rationale behind the pasuk. My diksiv, because it says, Kishevel yipol tzadik vikam. It says that a righteous fall seven times and get up. Ubaprasha ha'adam nikra mahalach. Meaning to say that we are in a state of journeying. Angels are called oimdim. Jews are called mahalchim. Oimdim means they stand in one place. There are infinite numbers of quote-unquote angels. Each one is on its own specific level, serving Hashem in its own specific function. It doesn't change. If Malach Mechoyel does a really super job at being Malach Mechoyel, he's not going to get elevated to the level of Malach Matat. Okay? If your dog is a really good job of being a dog, it's not going to become a horse. Okay? It'll just be a good dog. So Malach Mechoyel is a good Malach Mechoyel. Has no choice about it. You know, so whereas people,
if I do a good job, I become a horse.
You're already a horse.
There we go.
You're already starting at horse. If you do a good job, you stop being a horse.
I see. Very good.
Yeah. V'lay aymed. V'tzarech liyelech m'madrega l'madrega. A person, it says, you could fall seven times, but you still got to get up.
Yeah.
Okay? It seems like, when we go through life, okay, Hashem just knows how to hit us. Okay? Everybody worries about what they worry about. And why do they worry about that which they worry about? Because Hashem knows what to give them what to worry about. Okay? Your worries don't interest me, and my worries don't interest you. Okay, so Hashem gives us all these things. I've already said in chapter 26, there's no point worrying about him anyway. Okay, and I've often said, I said it when we were learning chapter 26, listen, Hashem was the one who gave me the problems, let him take care of them. So, what, me worry? Yes, he had it right. So, as my wife says, I don't get nervous, I just make everybody else around me nervous. So, so things are going to happen. You agree, huh? Things are going to happen. Okay? And it's just every time you see, like, you get a little something, there's always just like another patch, another slap. It's just like, ugh. And I got to stand up again. Okay? And you go. And at best, sometimes it feels like you're the hamster in the cage who's just running on that wheel and running. And it doesn't seem like you're getting any place. But you don't have to get any place. You just have to be going. That's all Hashem cares about. It's not incumbent upon us to get there.
To accomplish it, that's right. But we cannot desist.
Hashem, is that a pasuk someplace? One of those minor chazals?
That's Perkei Avos.
Okay.
Perkei Avos.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's not incumbent upon us to get there. It's just a combat. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to stop trying to get there.
We can't desist from the task.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You're in the game. You're a pawn. Yeah. And you can't say, I'm sitting this round out.
Yeah.
No.
The game comes to you.
V'loy la'amid b'madrega achas la'olam. You can't stay in the same place all the time. You have to be constantly progressing.
Yes.
We are movers and shakers. And Hashem expects of us that today is better than yesterday. How much better is irrelevant. just so long as better means not the same as not the same good as yesterday. Just a little bit. Well, that's just to be just a little bit. Just the slightest ever much. And that's enough that warrants that we got woken up this morning.
As long as better is better.
If today is not as good as yesterday, then what'd you bother waking up for? You could have stopped yesterday and it would have been, you know, that would have been where you left off. That would have been fine. But since Hashem woke you up today, so it means that Hashem expects that today is going to be better than yesterday.
Yes.
Now who's going to qualify that? You have to do that yourself. That's why we do a cheshbon and nefesh before we go to sleep. Okay?
Yeah.
Or sometimes we go to sleep listening to the rabbi's class. Anyway.
No.
Okay. Obein madrega la madrega. Terem shiagia la madrega al yaina memena shahuba vachinas nefilos madregas at Roshina. It says, okay, so a person's going up and up and up and up. It says, it talked about, I believe it's Masechta Sanhedrin, where the concept of the Nahar Dinar comes up, the river of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a Gemara. It's not a Zohar. It's talked about in the Zohar, but you got a page number for me? Yeah, it's in Perek Yud Aleph and Perek Achaylik, which talks about Mashiach. Yeah, okay. So what it says over there is,
we've already been there.
There's two expressions over there. One of them is this basic expression is it's good to go through this whole process of going down because eventually you go up. Okay, what happens is when the neshama leaves the body, the neshama doesn't forget about the world. On the contrary, when the neshama first leaves the body, it says, wait a minute, who said I was ready to leave?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going. I want to stay. I want to stay right here. I'm not going anyplace. You put me back where I belong. There's a whole fight, a whole screaming match that Neshama's going through.
To stay. They didn't want to be in the first place. Now wants to stay.
Bal korchachat chai, bal korchachat mace.
Exactly right.
You were forced to live, you're forced to die.
Yeah. Against your will, you were born. Against your will, you die.
So then what happens is, and what's the big draw to down here is because it's comfortable.
Oh.
This is what I'm familiar with. People don't want to go where they don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to go over there. Who knows what's happening over there? I like it over here. It's warm. It's comfortable. I'm used to it. I can deal with the problems that are over here. No, so Avraham Lipsker used to have a parable for like a 2-year-old as your toilet training.
Yes.
Okay, he's in a diaper over there, he doesn't want to give it up, it's warm, it's squishy. The smell, okay, it doesn't bother him already, he's used to it, he has no problems with it. Okay, that's what it's like for the neshama actually to be in this world. Yeah. So what has to happen? Well, what happens with the 2-year-old? You take the 2-year-old, you get rid of the diaper, you clean the kid up. So it's like that you would want to be in the same room with the kid.
Yeah.
And the kid's happy now too. You know, it's not the kid's not going to keep screaming because you took away his diaper. The kid's happy now that he's clean too. So what happens is that the neshama then tovels in the Nahar Dinar, which is a river of fire, a river of light, depending on how you translate the word Nahar, Dinar. Okay? What happens as the person immerses through this river of fire, which is no river of fire, that's just what it's called. It's just right. The river of fire is made out of the sweat of the angels, okay? Does that make you happy?
Could be.
My soul is going to tovel in angel sweat. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay.
Or slight.
What happens is that it takes away, it removes the desire for mundane pleasures. So now when the neshama is on the other side of this process, this purification process, which has been grossly animated according to this description, so the neshama no longer feels a need that it has to be in the body. I could live with this where I am now. And then it says the neshama in Gan Eden is constantly having aliyahs. The whole first year during the with all the Kaddishes and on the Yortzeis and Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos and Yom Rosh Chodesh, every time there's always another, the neshama's having an aliyah. Okay? But the neshama likes the level that it's on right now. Because what is the neshama doing in Gan Eden? Is basking in this ray of divinity. So it's happy. This is great stuff. You know, the Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev told the story that the Rambam swore that upon his passing, he was not going to go into Gan Eden until Mashiach came. And he, the Rambam, is going to have the chutzpah, he's going to take it upon his shoulders, he's not going into Gan Eden until they bring Mashiach. And Levi Yitzchak Berdichev lived many centuries after the Rambam, and he said, "No, what happened?" So he says, they showed him the Tainugim Olam Haba, and he jumped right in. And he said, now me, I'm not going in until Mashiach comes. So the Friedrich Rebbe told over this story about Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, and he said, "No, what happened to him?" They showed him the Tainugim of Olam Haba, and he jumped right in. Yeah. And the Friedrich Rebbe said, "Now me, I'm not going until Mashiach comes." Yeah. And the Rebbe, I think in 1990, yeah, it was 1990, the Rebbe told over this story and said, and the Friedrich Rebbe said that he's not going in to Gan Eden until Mashiach comes. What happened? They showed him the Tainugim Olam Haba, and what happened? He got excited and he jumped in. And then the Rebbe said, V'chulu, which means etc. And everybody shuddered. You know, the Rebbe is saying, when I die, etc. means when I die, I'm not going in. So now it's been 18 years as the Rebbe is standing at the gate of Gan Eden saying, I'm not going in. You didn't bring Mashiach yet.
We'll have to ask Mashiach.
Hmm?
We might have
to. Yeah, okay.
I don't know who we're going to ask.
Anyway, so from each level, it says you have Gan Eden Atachton, Gan Eden Elyon, which is a Gan Eden Atachton is an expression of enjoying godliness in an emotional way, and Gan Eden Elyon is through an intellectual way, and then there are an infinite number of emotional experiences that a person could experience, an infinite number of intellectual experiences that a person could experience. That's what it means to have an Aliyah in Gan Eden, a Lichtika Gan Eden, an Aliyah, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Every time the Neshama has to go up to another level, it's saying, wait, I'm fine right now. As they go up, what happens? They throw it through the river, runs up on the other side, gets to the other side. Oh, this is much better.
What if the neshama has to come back after all that?
It's got to go through the whole thing over again, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You learn to be a good swimmer.
Yeah, exactly. Or a good climber, as the case may be. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You look, for example, this week is Chayel. So the Baal Shem Tov, the story that I'm sending out for the E-Parsha this week involves the Baal Shem Tov, what was going on when at the time of the Alter Rebbe was conceived. So the Baal Shem Tov was very excited. Why? Because there's a Neshama Chadasha coming into the world, a new soul that never came down into the world. Okay? The Baal Shem Tov was not a new soul. This story about the Baal Shem Tov, that when Eliyahu sees there's this special light going on in Sfas, and he asks Hashem, what's this light going on in Sfas? So he says, that guy over there in Sfat did something really special on the day of his bar mitzvah, and it causes me a tremendous nachas. So Eliyahu asked the Eibishter, what did he do? He said, I'm not at liberty to tell you. He said, only he can tell you. He took an oath that no one's allowed to say, and I'm bound by it. Okay, so he went and knocked on a guy's door, and he said, Herzuchain, I'm Eliyahu Hanavi, and I will come with and learn with you for the every day for the rest of your life if you tell me what happened on the day of your bar mitzvah. So he said, I really would like to learn with you. It would be a great honor, but what I did on my bar mitzvah is between me and Hashem. And he wouldn't tell him. So when his neshama came up l'mayla, so they said, oh, this is a special neshama. We're sending him back. He gets to be the Baal Shem Tov.
Klapholz. Yeah.
Yeah.
It says that Eliyahu Navi, though, nevertheless learned with him
Okay. That makes everybody happy.
For the rest of his life.
Yeah, he lived to be
like... Because he did whatever he did for his bar mitzvah was...
Right. Yeah. So the fact that the Alter Rebbe was a new soul... Okay, so what I wanted to ring out is you're talking about what if a neshama has to come back? And from what we know about the Baal Shem Tov, you know, and his like, return trip, what's going on? Okay, so when you go up to the next level, what happens? He says, when you go up to the next level, we have a Gemara Chagiga, the second parak, somewhere it says Vav Tezayin Yidzayin, somewhere over there, talks about the size of the world. It says that from the world is 500 years walk, and from the world, from the earth to the heaven is 500 years walk, and between each of the seven heavens is 500 years walk, and then it says. And the ragle hachayis keneged kolam, that the feet of the chayis hakodesh is equal to all the rest of those. And then it says, and the ankle is equal to all of those. And the, it goes through the whole body, gets to the top, and then above the chayis comes the srafim. And the feet of the srafim is keneged all of those. So it says when a person passes from one level in Gan Eden to the next, the lower level seems like nothing. This new level is not, oh, this is Gan Eden. What I had before, that was okay. As you can see, there's an example. For example, I think we talked about this not too long ago, the idea of what's Bittel Torah. Did we talk about that last time? A couple weeks ago?
Yeah,
we did. We mentioned it. Okay, for a person to sit and learn Aleph Beis now, an adult to sit and learn Aleph Beis is Bittel Torah. What happens when he was 3 years old? That's what's expected. Because what he's learning when he's three, when he's five, is not called learning anymore. So the tainik that you have in this world compared to the tainik that's going to be in the next world, this is not called tainik. And the level above that, so this, the first level above this one, that's not called tainik. And we get to level three, so level two is not called tainik anymore. Okay, because once a person experiences the next level of tainik,
yeah.
So this tainug wasn't anything.
Right.
Okay. Became a dregel a madrega term she agil a madrega al yaina mamena vuhuva vuhinis nefila a madrega, as we said earlier, shayna. Ach ki yipol la yipol. But fall doesn't mean to fall. The ain a nikris nefila ela legavi madregosa rishayna. Velo legavi sharkol adam chasa shalom. When it says fall, it says a tzaddik falls seven times. It doesn't mean that he became a neifel, a yored, he's not a tzaddik anymore. No. It means, now that he's on this level, so that level that he was on before is like a level that he had been that he had fallen to. Hmm. Okay, now that he's on this level, so he's on a higher level. Not that we should say, compared to other people, so this guy's now a yored, chas v'shalom, or a neifel. Because he's still a tzaddik. It says Sheva Yipol Tzaddik. He's still a tzaddik. He's still, comparably speaking, still way up there, but in his own level. That's what it says. The Zohar explains it. One of the favorite lines of the Rebbe, and for, I think for one of the favorite lines of Chassidus, is that Yavim Mashiach Va'asa Tzadikai L'Tiyuvta. Mashiach is going to come and bring the tzaddikim to do tshuva. Not that they did anything wrong, but the level that they were on now, that's a lower level to what they could be on when Mashiach comes. So Mashiach comes, they'll be on a higher level. They'll see, oh, I was on a lower level before. There still remains a little bit of a feeling of that first level. I can't read this word, sorry. Then what happens is he already has this, like, still a feeling for this love of Hashem that he had in his youth. We are what we would call in our youth. Okay, when it comes to loving Hashem, I think everybody at this table would still be called newbies.
Infants.
Yes. Okay? But then now, when he gets older, Gamki Yaskin, so since it was that we started out now, thinking and meditating about those things that are going to bring us to love Hashem. That's called chinuch lenar, al pi darko. We should think about things that will arouse us to love Hashem on this madriga that we're on now. And what's going to happen? I understand this now, and it raises me to this level of love of Hashem. Tomorrow, I'm not going to do the same thing again. Tomorrow, I'm going to learn something else, a little bit harder, a little bit deeper, apply it a little bit more, and achieve a higher level of love and fear of Hashem. So it's all an accumulation so that someday when this person finally reaches to the level of tzaddik and Hashem is showering all kinds of presents on him, it's all because he started day one today. So v'hine reishis ha-dvarim ha-ma'irin ha-ava v'ha-yira v'yisaydim hu amuna tahira v'ne'amana b'yichudu v'achdusa yuzbarach v'yisaleh. So he says, you want to get there from here? The easiest, the first step, the path, is to qualify and quantify what does it mean believe in God and that there's one God with the help of God for the next 12 chapters. To be continued.